Radio.
It's time for the Swap Shop Hour. Give us a call at 740-383-9944. It's time for Swap Shop. Come on, friends. If you're gonna sell it, we're gonna tell it. So pick up your phone and let me make it perfectly clear. It's time for Swap Shop. Good old Swap Shop. We're gonna try and sell it here. 740-383-9944.
Hey, welcome to Swap Shop. And I'm Glenn Cole, your host. And, wait a minute, I forgot to do the thing again. All right. There we go, now we got it. I forgot to do the thing again. And I'm really sorry about that for your ears. You got to hit this button and you got to hit that button before you do this. But apparently, I got out of it okay. All right, you're listening to Swap Shop. Now, Swap Shop is a show where you can call in and you can sell some of your junk. If you have something in the basement or something in the garage or something in your house that you want to get rid of, give us a call. Tell us what you're trying to sell. If you want to, you can even tell us how much you'd like to sell it for, and then leave your phone number, and your phone number, we'll keep it, and we'll announce it two or three times during the show, and maybe we can sell it for you. Now, if you have a garage sale, we can announce that too. Now, this is a Thursday, so the garage sales start usually Friday, but sometimes Thursday afternoon. So you can call and tell us where you are and when you're going to be open, and we'll be glad to announce that on this show. Now, if you're embarrassed to get on the air, you don't have to call in. By the way, our phone number is 740-383-9944. I'll give that again several times. So if you're embarrassed to talk on the air, you can send us a letter and tell us what your event is that's going on, or what the item is you're trying to sell. Or for that matter, if you're looking for something, you can call us or tell us what you're looking for. If you're looking for a dorm size refrigerator, give us a call, and maybe we can find one for you at a good price. So that's what we do here. Now, we also announce stuff that is mailed in to us. So you can mail an item or an event or something you're looking for. You can mail it to WWGH 523 South Prospect Street, Marion, Ohio, 43302. And I'll give you that again. It's WWGH 523 South Prospect Street, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Now, if you're going to call in, it's 740-383-9944. Hopefully, we got our phone call problems taken care of, and we'll be able to talk to you. We have had some things sent in to us. There's going to be a Logos Christian Ministries is having a health fair on the 21st, which is only 2 days away. That's this coming Saturday from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. at 582 Lee Street here in Marion, Ohio. That's 12 to 2 on May 21st, 582 Lee Street in Marion. There's going to be a neighborhood supper. It's a drive-through supper held on Tuesday, May 24th, from 4:30 to 6 p.m., and that's down at St. Paul's Lutheran Church at 135 West Main Street in Waldo. And they're going to have like ham sandwiches and chips and macaroni salad, etc. What they ask is that you pull up in front of the door that's facing the parking lot, and the meal will be delivered right to your car. Now, and it's for anyone. So stop on down there at Waldo at the St. Paul's Lutheran Church and get a free meal. Let's see, on May 26th, we're going to have the lunch with the presidents through the Marion Historical Society, but they've closed that out, so you've missed out on that one. I'm sorry about it, but they are going to have a lunch with the First Ladies, and that's August 6th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's going to be out at the Tri-Rivers Career Center Auditorium. They're going to have Abigail Fillmore, Frances Clara Cleveland, Eleanor Roosevelt, and Nancy Reagan are going to be the featured first ladies that are going to be there, and you can get to talk to them and everything. Now, if you want to order those tickets, you have to get that in by July 15th for that August 6th luncheon. So they need a little lead time on these things. And the tickets are available. Run over to Heritage Hall, which is at 169 East Church Street, or you can call 740-387-4255. That's 740-387-4255. Or go online, www.marionhistory.com, to order your tickets for a First Ladies luncheon. Let's see what's going on out at the Tallgrass Trail. Okay, on the 21st, that's Saturday, at 5 p.m., they're going to have Marion Maid is going to have their May 5K Kids Dash. That'll be at the Tallgrass Trail. The Kids Dash for $10. It'll start at 9 a.m. And the adult race will be for $40. And it'll start at 9:05. Don't run over the little guys, all right? So that's a 5K race on Saturday. Let's see. To get entered into that, I've got a really long address that you have to go to. And you probably can go online to the Marion County Park District. You can probably go online and find it. But let me read it to you. I gave you a little time to get your pencil ready. This is a long one, right? Okay, if you want to register, you go to... let's see. It says, well, that's interesting. It says you can't register anymore. I'm sorry. It says you had to register by the 18th. And what is today? Is today the registration day? No, that was yesterday. So you can't register for that, but you can go out and watch them run and support your favorite kid or adult 5K-er. So let's see here. If I've got anything else, I've got to get all this paperwork out from under stuff. And I think that's all that I have right now. So free food, free racing, some interesting guests that you can go and talk to. And if you have something to sell, give us a call. It's 740-383-9944. What I thought, you know, we've been struggling to get people. I'm going to talk with the boss, and maybe we'll adjust this show time or adjust a different person to do to do this swap shop. But I'm going to give you some interesting facts and figures, if I can get them to come back up. About the Indy 500, which will be coming on, I don't remember what the date is, but it's normal Memorial Day is the 30th. I'm not sure what this year it is. But the first Indy 500 took place in 1911. I didn't realize it went back that far, but it goes back a long way. Now, I've been to several of those, but not back in 1911. let's see if I can get back to this correct screen here on my phone. There we go. But it was 1911, and if... shoot. I used to know the name of the man who won that, and now I can't remember. It'll probably tell me as we go along here. But if you've ever been to the Indy 500, it's an event that you won't forget. The crowd alone is worth going for. Sorry, I had to clear my throat a little bit. Okay. The crowd alone is worth it. There's a lot of alcohol that's consumed at the race, so you're going to have to be careful, especially when you're driving out of the place. But the night before is kind of fun. When I was a little guy, my father took me to the Indy 500. Let's see, I'm trying to remember who... Hi, somebody honked as they went by. I can't remember who else went with us. I think maybe my brother. I don't think my sister went with us, but we slept in the car in line. We were back about, I don't know, 2 or 3 miles from the entrance to the 500, and there was a double line of traffic all stuck there in line next to the curb. Waiting for the doors to open, and then we were all going to drive in to the main entrance. Well, it was kind of interesting because, you know, people were out and screaming and having a good time. But you wait and wait and wait. Well, we slept. And then at, I think it was 6 o'clock in the morning, a gun goes off, a cannon goes off, and they open the doors. And then everybody starts running driving for the to get in and get the best parking spots that you can get, because what you do is you go in and you park in the infield, and it's kind of fun. The infield is huge, of course, and there are all sorts of different places you can go. If you go to the number one turn, that's where all the crazies were back when I was doing this. If you go to the number two turn, it's kind of mild-mannered, not a lot of crazy people. I'm not sure if they still allow people to park back there, because, you know, they have a golf course right in the middle of the 500. The number 3 and 4 turn are pretty crowded because people want... That's a good place to be toward the end of the race. But you just line up along the fence and watch it from in the infield. You watch out. There are a lot of... excuse me. Had to cough again. There are hundreds of thousands of people that are watching. Later on, as I got older, I would take my family and I would park on the infield, but we always went to the North Tower Terrace, which was, you know, we could get by with $25 per ticket. Now, this is a long time ago. It's probably 60 or 70 now. But it was a great place to be. You're pretty safe because it was on the inside of the track, not the outside of the track. Now, the outside of the track, they have giant fences that go up to protect you from getting hit by any parts of the vehicles that may fly off. But there have been people killed at the Indy 500 that are not drivers. So you have to be vigilant. But anyway, you find your parking place, you get to your seat, and you sit there and watch the pageantry. The pageantry that they have for the Indy 500 is phenomenal. All the cars go around with all the drivers, and not the race cars, but the usually convertibles go around with the drivers in it, and then they have all the beauty queens going around in the cars, and they have... then they sing Back Home Again in Indiana. It used to be sung by Jim Nabors. It is no longer. They have a national anthem. then they call the drivers to their positions, and the cars get out onto the starting area, and then they call them to start your engines. And that, you know, I'm getting goosebumps just remembering command to start your engine, the sound. We were back in the days when they had the Offenhausers, and those were really loud. And the sound was just amazing. It was actually uncomfortable. It was so loud. And then they'd start them up and have a couple of parade laps, and everybody be cheering their favorite, and then the race is off. And once the race starts, it's just amazing to watch. Now, quite often, if you're rooting for a person that doesn't do very well, it's kind of a short day. There are many a driver that only get a lap or two in before their car blows up or they hit the wall, or there aren't a whole lot of accidents right at the beginning. They try to be careful, I think, during the first couple of laps because they're so close together. But it's great fun. You really ought to go at least once to see the Indy 500. And it is pretty expensive anymore, so I'm not exactly sure what it is. I suppose I could look that up, but I'm gonna wait and let you look it up. The distance of the track is 2.5 miles. 2.5 miles around, and so you can do the math and figure out how many laps they have to do to get 500 miles in. They used to have only one race there, and now they have two or three of them. They have a NASCAR race there. They also have the Indy 500, and they have a road race there. They may have more than one road race now, but it's quite an interesting place just to go to look and see all the history. And they have Gasoline Alley, which is kind of a cool place. You can go and see where all the drivers get the cars prepared, and you can actually go around. I believe they still have you can get in a bus, and they will take you around the track like you're actually driving. Not that you are. In a bus, you're not going to be doing 240 miles an hour or whatever they're doing now. One of the traditions about the Indy 500, one of the reasons why I love the Indy 500, I was born in Indianapolis, and also I worked at the Indy 500 2 years, taking tickets, and I've been to 6 or 7 of them, so it's kind of steeped in my history. I haven't been in a long, long time, but it is kind of steeped in my history. So that's why I decided today would be a fun day to tell you about my favorite race, the Indy 500. The traditional winner, by the way, he gets a pint of milk to drink. you know, a lot of places it's champagne, and I'm sure they do have the champagne, but the first thing he takes a drink of is a gulp of milk. Maybe that settles his stomach so that he can drink the champagne. I don't know. But at the end of the race, that's what they give him. And it's that started way back in 1936. Lewis Meyer was the winner, and he guzzled a post-race bottle of chilled buttermilk. Yuck. I hope it's just plain milk now. I think it is just plain milk. Buttermilk is not one of my favorite things. I remember one time bought a jug of milk. I drink a lot of milk at home. And I opened it up and poured out a big glass and took a big gulp. And I thought it was milk that had gone bad. It wasn't. After I spit it out, I realized it was buttermilk. So that's what I think about buttermilk. The winners of the Indy 500 are given the Borg Warner Trophy, and it has a picture or a metal sculpture of every one of the faces of all of the winners over the years. I don't know how many portraits they can still have. Let's see, what does it say here? It features their name, but it also has their likeness. It's a 5'4" tall trophy, and it includes more than 100 portraits of past champions now. And it has even been enlarged on two separate occasions to make more room for more faces, which I'm sure it will continue. They may even have to add parts to the trophy itself. Let's hope it goes on that long. It's a beautiful trophy. I didn't realize it was 5'4" tall. That makes it pretty tall to carry around. You can't really put that in your suitcase. You don't get to keep it anyway. The longest Indy 500 race happened back in 2004 when, because of rain delays, the race was stopped three times, and that caused the longest broadcast of the event. The broadcast lasted 8 hours and 22 minutes. Boy, I wonder what they talked about the whole time then. And that's a long, long time. Speaking of a long time on the broadcast, you're listening to Swap Shop. We haven't had anybody call in today. If you have something that you're interested in selling, some tchotchke that you have out in the garage that you want to get rid of, or you want to tell us about an event that's going on, or you want to find something. There are people that have called us because they're looking for an item. And you can feel free to call 740-383-9944. Where did that 5 come from? That's 740-383-9944, and give us your name. You don't have to get too involved in telling about the item, but give us a little bit about the item. Tell us your phone number so people can get in touch with you, and maybe we can sell it for you. Or you can write to WWGH 523 South Prospect Street in Marion, Ohio, 43302. That's WWGH 523 South Prospect Street, Marion, Ohio, 43302. And you can tell us what, put on a piece of paper what you're trying to sell, what you're trying to find, or your event, and we'll put it on the air like I'm going to do right now. We have a health fair that's going on Saturday, May 21st. That's this Saturday. It's going to be on from 12 to 2 p.m. At 582 Lee Street here in Marion, Ohio. They're going to have booths about diabetes, health, wellness, cancer, stroke awareness, heart and vascular stuff. General health fair. They'll be able to tell you about most anything that is in the news today involved in health. That's Saturday, May 21st, 12 p.m. to 2 p.m., and it's put on by Logos Christian Ministries, and it's going to be their health fair at 582 Lee Street here in Marion, Ohio. The Marion County Historical Society is going to have First Ladies Luncheon on Saturday, August 6th, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's going to be held out at Tri Rivers Career Center in the auditorium. It'll be an event charge of $25, and you get to meet Abigail Fillmore, Frances Cleveland, Eleanor Roosevelt, Nancy Reagan, and you can do that. And the reason why it's not August, but excuse me, had to get that cough out of the way. I know it's not August, but you have to have your reservation in by July 15th. So if you want to do that, call 740-387-4255. That's 740-387-4255, or go online to www.marionhistory.com. They're going to have a neighborhood supper down on at St. Paul's Lutheran Church at 135 West Main Street in Waldo. And that's going to be this coming Tuesday, May 24th, from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Everybody's welcome. Just pull your car to the parking lot that's facing the door, and a meal will be delivered to your car. I hope you have a good meal. Free food's always good. And right now, many of us can use a little help in that line. All right. Anyway, so we're talking about the Indy 500, and I will continue to do that. But if you have a, if you are interested in giving us a call, it's 740-383-9944. 740-383-9944. Okay. I imagine a lot of you are doing something I'm doing this weekend, going to a graduation. My granddaughter is graduating from Worthington's high school, and also she's graduating from two places, and I forget what the name of the second place is. It's out there on 23, and it's a little further education stuff. I don't know. I'll have to ask her the name of that. I always forget the name of the place. But she's having two graduations, so we get to go on Saturday and Sunday for 3 hours of sitting, watching our little granddaughter walk across the podium twice. And boy, oh boy, I hope I have a seat cushion. I'm getting old. My derriere does not handle that very well. Not only my derriere, but my bladder doesn't handle 3 hours of sitting either. But we might be okay. We're going to give it a shot. What else? I just figured out it cost me about $18 to drive down and back to the event just in gas. Because one of them is all the way down in the Nationwide Center area, and the other one is out on the north side. That won't be so bad. But anyway, not something I worry about. I don't mind paying the money to go see my granddaughter have her day. Anyway, let's go back and talk about the Indy 500. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to go much further. I am running out of juice. The youngest winner of the Indy 500 was Troy Ruttman at age 22 in 1952. And the oldest winner was 47, and that was Al Unser back in 87. Boy, was he a favorite amongst people that went to go to the race. Ten women have started the Indy 500. Janice Guthrie in 77 and 79. Desiree Wilson in 82 and 84. Lynn St. James, 92 through 97. Sarah Fisher, 2000 to 2004. Danica Patrick, 2007 to 2010. I'm sorry, 2005 through 2011, Milka Duno, 2007 through 2009, Anna Beatriz, 2010 through 12, Simone de Silverstone, 2010 through 2012, Pippa Mann, 2011, 2015, 2016, and Catherine Legg, 2012. It seems like more women have been getting into it recently, right? If all of the Indy 500 hot dogs and bratwurst were sold on race day, were placed end to end, they would circle the oval where they drive. they would circle the oval more than three times. Remember, the oval is two miles and a half. I think my phone is telling me I'm done. I have 1% left in it, so yeah, it is done. We would go there. I may have seen Troy Rettman. I'm sure I saw Troy Rettman race, the youngest winner. I don't think I saw him in 52, because I would have only been 6 years old. I think it was a little older than that, the first one I went to. I did see one really bad accident where one of the drivers was killed. I've seen several accidents, but now I'm losing the name of the driver that was killed on the backstretch, right in front of us, as a matter of fact. It's kind of a terrifying thing when some of these accidents happen, especially nowadays. One of the last races that we went to, and I'm thinking it was probably in the 80s, a car had its wheel sheared off, and it came up into the stands not too far from us. Now, we didn't see it happen, but a gentleman was killed by the tire and wheel that came off of that car. Kind of scary stuff. You can't imagine the immensity of the oval unless you've been there. You can't see a whole lot of what's going on. You can see the cars go by you. Now they go by you in a split second. And if you're rooting for a specific person, you better be on the lookout, because it's going to go by fast. I remember one year they were starting the race, and the starting car, the pace setter that started the race, actually lost control and went into a whole stand of reporters, and some people were killed in that particular action, where the whole stand crashed down on top of the starting car that ran into it. There have been a lot of really harrowing things that have happened, but if you go there, I'll tell you, one of the things that you really will appreciate is how brave people are that go out to save these drivers. They run right across in front of oncoming vehicles to make sure that they can get somebody out of a crashed car. Now, they're pretty good about slowing these cars down immediately upon an accident. Nowadays, they all have inside their cockpit, they have warning lights that tell them there's an accident and slow the car down to a safe speed, if there is such a thing out there on the Indy 500. It's kind of amazing what they've done. And technology has gone from, in the first few races, the only way you knew that there was an accident and the only way that you knew to slow down is they'd wave a yellow flag. Now, that's a whole part of the Indy 500, is what do all the different flags mean? There's a flag that means slow down. There's a flag that says the race has been stopped, which is the black flag. There's a flag that says you are out of the race. There's a flag that says you've won the race. One that says that everybody knows is the checkered flag. The one that says the race has started and is on, and that's a green flag. So there's a whole bunch of, and there are more than that, of these flags that indicate, because that was back in the days they started these races in 1912. That was back in the day when there was no electronic way of telling your driver. As a matter of fact, there were times early where it wasn't only a driver, but it was a person that sat next to the driver and adjusted the oil and things on the car while he was driving. Now, how crazy is that to volunteer or whatever they do? Maybe they paid him to be the co-driver. You don't get to do anything to save yourself. You get to sit there and let somebody else drive as fast as they drove. And I don't remember what the speed of the first Indy 500 race was, but it was faster than what we drive on the highway now. So the guy is sitting next to you pumping the oil to make sure the oil keeps going so your car doesn't blow up. But he can't do anything to save himself as far as if something goes wrong. I never did understand why anybody would do that. I'm trying to remember if there was ever a non-combustion engine. I don't think there was ever a Indy 500 car that was an electric car. We may see it. Right now, it'd be a little tough to do because you got to go 500 miles, and most of the electric cars won't go that far. But there are ones that will, and they have tremendous. The electric cars apparently have tremendous speed and pickup, and it wouldn't surprise me to see within the next 10 years an electric car race at the Indy 500. I do remember the changeover from the old Offenhauser. You know, they look like miniature midgets, only they're giants. They look like the mini the midgets. I remember the years that, and I can't remember his name. He was from Ireland or Scotland, and he came to America in a rear engine car, and nobody could believe that rear engine car would do anything at all. What was his name? Can't remember. Anyway, the rear engine automobile started now everything's. I don't know if everything is, but it got to the point where everything was a rear-engine car. But in that first race, was it Cooper? Was that his name? Anyway, in that first race, the big offies would go by him on the stretches, on the long stretches. He got to the turn, and he'd take those turns like he was on a string. I mean, he didn't slide or anything, whereas the offies had to let up to go around the turns, and he'd gain back everything that he had lost. And it actually kind of proved that the rear engine car, the smaller rear engine car, was going to make way, and it did. Now, a lot of these drivers for the Indy 500 have come up from midget car racing. A lot of them have come from go-kart racing. And now they move up from go-kart racing to midget racing and so forth. Or they race bigger cars, that, you know, standard cars, out on an old dirt track in their neighborhood. Most of the NASCAR guys, they didn't used to switch. You didn't used to find NASCAR guys that would drive Indy cars and Indy car drivers that would drive NASCAR. But nowadays, there is even a race that takes place on the same day with Memorial Day race, and there are drivers that will get in a helicopter or a jet or whatever and go from the end of the Indy 500 to the beginning of whatever the NASCAR race is and race in both races on one day. Now, is that crazy or what? I have a hard time keeping my eyes awake, keep my eyes open after a boring TV show, let alone having to keep my eyes open for probably a 10-hour day. But it does sound interesting, and there have been a couple of three drivers that have done that very thing. I wish I could remember a name for you, but I cannot. That's one of my problems, not keeping my eyes open as much as remembering names. I'm not real good at that. Let's see if I can remember anything more. Say, if you are interested in selling anything, obviously today is a very slow day for us. But if you are interested, you can give us a call here at Swap Shop, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. There's a health fair coming up on Saturday at 12 p.m. It'll go till 2 p.m. And it's sponsored by Logos Christian Ministries, and they have all sorts of booths. Go there and get a lot of information about heart and vascular problems, stroke awareness, cancer, blood pressure, all sorts of things. You can go there and get lots of information. That's May 21st. That's this Saturday, 12 p.m. to 2 p.m., the Logos Christian Ministries Health Fair at 582 Lee Street here in Marion. That's 582 Lee Street here in Marion. All right. We have a lunch with the First Ladies being put on by Marion County Historical Society. It'll be out at Tri Rivers Career Center Auditorium on Saturday, August 6th, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. The event price is $25. They're going to have Abigail Fillmore, Millard Fillmore's wife, Grover Cleveland's wife, Frances Cleveland, Eleanor Roosevelt and Nancy Reagan will also be there as first ladies, and you will be able to meet them and talk to them and find out all about their lives. Just call for tickets at 740-387-4255 or go online to www.marionhistory.com, or you can just go over to Heritage Hall at 169 East Church Street, knock on the door and get your tickets there. The reason why we're mentioning it so early is because they will close off their reservations on July 15th, so you got to get that in before then. There's a neighborhood supper, and you drive in, and they will bring out your box of food on Tuesday, May 24th, from 4:30 to 6 p.m., and it'll be at St. Paul's Lutheran Church down in Waldo, Ohio. That's at 135 West Main Street in Waldo. And they're going to have ham sandwiches and chips and macaroni salad, peaches, brownies, bottled water. Drive to the door facing the parking lot, and the meal will be delivered to your car. One last thing here. Let's see. On the 21st as well, that's Saturday, starting at 5 p.m., Marion Maids 5K Dash and Dash for Kids will be held out at the Tallgrass Trail. The Dash for the Kids will be cost $10, and it'll start at 9 a.m. Trying to figure out why it's saying 5 p.m., but I'm going it might be. The kids dash starts at 9 a.m., and the adult race starts at 9:05. The adults, they're going to charge $40 for that. So here's the address. If you want to find out more about it, go to https://runsignup.com/race/OH/Marion/Marion5K. Next year they got to have a shorter address than that. All right. Let's see. I think that's about all I have for today. I hope you've had a good week so far, and you'll have a better week to come. It's going to get up to 90 degrees on Friday. Yikes. If I'm at a graduation on Saturday, which I will be in the afternoon, I hope we don't get close to 90, because boy, it gets hot. You know, when I worked at Ohio University, we had our annual graduation, And it was several thousands of people that would pile into the convocation center. The convocation center seats around 14,500 people. So you have 14,500 people, all 98.6 degree heaters. So our maintenance guys would put the temperature 2 or 3 days before, they would put the temperature down to the lowest temperature that they could put in the convocation center, which would make every one of us in that had our offices in the convocation center have to wear a jacket all day long, or we'd freeze right there. But by the time they started handing out the diplomas, it was up to a very comfortable high 60s, and by the time it was done, it was into a rather sweltery 80s. That's what warm little bodies will do for you, but kind of interesting. Hopefully, we won't have that problem at my granddaughter's graduation. Hey, I want to tell everybody. This is kind of fun for me to tell everybody. Brag a little bit about my grandkids. Not only do I have a granddaughter that's graduating, but I have a grandson who you all know is going to be pitching for the North Carolina Tar Heels next year. But he and my granddaughter, Addison, both are on their own high school. He's on his high school baseball team, and she's on her high school softball team. She's only a sophomore, and both of them took another step towards the state championship. I'm really proud of them, and they both tried to lose. It got that close. My wife and I were sweating bullets listening to or watching the game go, both of those games go on. Okay, enough bragging about my grandkids. You can call in and brag about your grandkids. I'd love to hear somebody brag about their grandkids. We got only about a minute left to go, so you won't have much time. But you remember the number here, 740-383-9944. And we'll do this again next week. I'm going to talk with the boss about adjusting this show, because we've gotten to the point where we just don't get call-ins. You know, the COVID kind of killed it out, and it hasn't picked back up again. So we're going to talk about this. It's not a waste of time, because I always have something. I always look up something trivial that has to do with that time of the month or time of the year or whatever that we're in. So I'm able to give you some information that you can take to your friends and act like you're really smart that week, because you know about the Indy 500 or you know about Valentine's Day or whatever. So that's what I try to do for you. I'm Glenn Coble, and you've been listening to Swap Shop. We're going to get out of here, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend and a pleasant Friday as well. Bye-bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LPFM, Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. For guests like legendary ABC News correspondent Sam Donaldson.